Vibe Astrology.
Welcome, everyone. Oh, I'm feeling a little bittersweet because this is our last call for the series, isn't it, Kim?
It is. It is. But we have good news about calls to maintenance.
We do have good news. We have really, really good news about how to party next.
Yeah.
So that is, you're right, that is the good news. So today, Kim, you want to introduce what we're covering today, or where do you want to get us started?
We'd love to hear from everyone how they went last week with looking at their Jupiter and looking at expansion and boosting energy in their lives by tuning into where they found their Jupiter and in what sign, and if anyone played with that. Is there anyone who wants to mention how they went?
Oh, heck, you know, I'll always talk.
Thanks,
if nobody
Julie.
Else does.
Thanks. Give us a rundown. Can you just tell us where your Jupiter is so we're all on the same page?
My Jupiter, Jupiter.
Where are you? There you are. Hang on. I'm getting you here. And your Jupiter is in Leo in the fifth house.
Yes. And I have to say that, full disclosure, I didn't really get to explore all of this. I have printed everything out. I'm so excited to be able to, have the time to do this a little bit more. But I wanted to talk about this because, especially knowing that Jupiter's in Leo, I have just gone through, maybe it's just talking about this stuff. But I've just gone through huge shifts the last couple weeks, and I very much feel that my Jupiter and Leo, Leo just, I think of my oldest son, actually, when I think of Leo, both of my sons are Leos, actually, but my oldest son especially is very, very out there, very on the stage, and I just feel that part of me just opening up in a big way. And so that's really been up for me a lot this past week, just being out there more, being more public, expressing my opinions, expressing the processes that I'm going through. I've just been posting a lot on the different Facebook forums of the different courses that I'm on. And so I feel like that's really been happening a lot for me. So
Julie, thank you for that, because you make a really good point. Just talking about it evokes it. We can be our own personal transits and spotlights and highlighters by just putting our awareness there.
I feel like that's really true. I actually had a great conversation. You said the other day something about Capricorn in the 10th house, and I believe that's where my Capricorn is. I'm pretty sure I'm looking at that right. And
yes,
you said
you said something about
ambition. Now, this was a couple weeks ago, but just to show how this is just shifting things. Now, I have always said I am not ambitious at all. Once again, my son is the example of ambition, and I have never felt or believed I was ambitious. And you said something about Capricorn being in the 10th house of careers, that if somebody said they weren't ambitious, that you would believe the
horoscope
more than you would them. And,
yes.
That it kind of just slipped in there. And then, I've been thinking about it the last couple weeks, and I'm like, ambition, I'm not even sure what ambition is, what is my interpretation? But it's definitely lit something up in me that's made me explore what are my beliefs about ambition. And because apparently I'm actually ambitious.
Yes. I would certainly say so. And it's so easy, particularly for women in our culture, growing up, at the time you and I were kids at the same time, Julian, we very likely learned to project our ambition and some of our real, I can see how you would project your Leo and your Capricorn ambition onto the first likely male, maybe your son, and maybe in the past it's been partners. Like, you get a feeling like, I'm not ambitious, but I really like guys that are accomplished and have goals and are going somewhere.
Well, it's funny because I've never actually had relationships with those kinds of men, but I had an astrologer tell me once that Jared and I, my oldest son and I, that he basically, you know, that my children, they all came kind of for different reasons, but he basically came just because we like each other. We just like to play with each other. And that's always kind of how it's felt. And I actually dreamed about him 2 months before I was pregnant. So it's obviously some of my own vibe. And he was standing on a stage. And he had his little hands on his hips, and he says, "Don't worry, I'm coming." Because I was single at the time, but I knew he was there. But that was 2 months before I was pregnant. I had this little male standing on a stage saying, "Don't worry, I'm coming."
I think what might be flowing here too is our personal definition of ambition. Because Julie, if you looked at it as just the simple desire to achieve success, and recognize that your idea of success is probably not the kind that many associate with ambition, like money or power or professional, climbing the corporate ladder.
One of the words that's come up for me is competition. And, you know, I think there's room for all of us. That's my whole gig.
Well, show me an Aries rising with sun in the first house that isn't cutting edge competitive. That's natural. That's your MO. That's your natural, you know, your natural MO and what really helps you shine. So this is the really cool thing about starting to explore your astrology and just even giving these ideas a little bit of attention, because as we put attention on them, it's like these, they've been parts of ourselves that have just been sleepwalking or locked away in a closet, and we just open the windows, and we shine some light on it, and they start to contribute to our vibration. And this is where our true holistic expression comes from, is by tapping in all aspects of our energy that are authentic. So we become more of who we are, and that feels good.
Yeah.
And that means we manifest more of what we want. So it's just self-feeding and self-reinforcing.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
And it has really felt good. Initially, honestly, it was like, oh, my gosh, there's so much information, and I didn't really have the foundation for this class of kind of information, and, I'm doing a lot of other stuff at the same time. So I'm looking forward to actually exploring the information part of it more, but right now I'm just enjoying whatever the vibe is that's happening on these calls, and just, you know, so there you go.
I think that's actually a really smart approach, Julie, because it for me personally, it was also really easy to get intimidated by all the things I didn't know, especially every time Kim would say something, and I'd learn again. And to just realize, you know what, there isn't ever going to be a time when I really know everything, so just getting comfortable with what I did know and what I enjoyed learning. I think that's a really smart approach, Julie, for you to just jump in where we're at. And really, this was designed for people who didn't have full knowledge of astrology, but just an interest in it, in leveraging it for their manifesting work. So yay for taking a look at Jupiter. Did anyone else have anything they wanted to share about their work with Jupiter this last week?
Yeah, it's Janet.
Thanks, Janet.
I just finished posting in the forum, and I was so excited about this, and it took me a whole week to actually sit down and do it, because I realized looking at my chart, I have three planets. I have Jupiter and Pluto sitting in Leo, and I had always thought of Leo as being something that other people have, like. And the third thing is my husband Moon appears to be in Leo as well, and I'm like, see, this is just Leo. That's bright, shiny people. That's not me. I'm an introvert. That's not. And so there was a bit of a challenge there. There was a bit of a
Wait
challenge.
A minute.
There was the what?
Are you have Leo in the fifth house with Jupiter as well? Are we both? Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's why your work resonates with me so much.
I don't think it's a surprise that you are the two who are speaking up on this call.
Exactly. And to the two who often speak up. You guys don't realize how your Leo does shine through.
Your Leo is showing. Yeah.
So having resisted the exercise for a week, I finally sat down this morning and did it. And I realized I actually got, it's going to sound a bit weird, I think I got a lot more juice than I expected out of looking at the old story. And I was suddenly reminded of a whole bunch of childhood moments of walking down the street, asking my mum to sing me my favorite song and her absolutely refusing because she didn't walk down the street singing to your child, certainly at that period in England anyway. And so all these things about, you know, not showing off and about life is hard work and you do the hard work before you do, you know, you do your chores before you play. And I had not realized how, I guess, cramped up and confined I had allowed that story to become or to make me feel. So being able to write, you know, sit down, like writing out the old story or dot pointing the old story made it, because I didn't know where to start with the new story until I dot pointed the old story. And I went, oh, there we go again. Looking at the contrast tells me what it is that I do want. So looking at the old story, I was able to go, you know, to grasp things like, you know, my success and my expansion come from getting my hands off micromanaging everything. It comes from having a lot more fun. It comes from appreciating my creative expression, which I had secretly, I mean, I had a 20-year career as a performer, and secretly I always felt like that wasn't a real job. It was like it wasn't really contributing anything to the world. I mean, I worked on Babe, and so many people I know said that their idea of, you know, their ideas about inclusivity came in part from watching movies like that, and yet my blinkered view of the world was that it didn't contribute anything, or I didn't contribute anything by participating in it. And now I'm kind of going, holy cow. Talk about getting it wrong. It feels really good to be able to go, well, this new story around Jupiter, around my natal Jupiter, and also about Jupiter in transit, which is all around, you know, resources and money, and it just seems to be opening creaky old doors in my head that I'm still figuring out, but it's good.
That's fantastic. I love the way that you can reflect, especially during Mercury retrograde. We got a few more days of this to reflect back, even like looking at your CV, which you have still like one of the most incredible CVs of anybody I know, and to look back and actually give it some applause, give yourself some deep appreciation and credit for how much you have contributed and the amazing things that you've done. We tend to brush over this stuff, big stuff that other people just can't even dream of because they don't think they could ever even get their toe to the bottom, rung on that ladder, and you've, been at the top. So I think it's wonderful to go back and apply renewed appreciation that we may not have felt at the time. I won't go into backwards causation and how we can change the past to affect the future, but I will just say that going back, especially during times of retrograde Mercury, and rethinking how we evaluate and appreciate ourselves catapults us in new directions. Super
That's
fast.
Awesome.
This is like,
I love that.
I don't know what speed dial the universe is, and Jeanette, I want to ask you guys that because
I don't know either.
I keep hearing about it on every
I don't
guy
know
their
either.
Dog
I know.
Talking about it. I have no idea what it is. I kind of have an idea, but I don't know. Anyway, this is speed dial, okay, in that sense, just to borrow the phrase, because I don't know how else to use it. Because it's super fast. It's like the really hitting the what's that button you hit when you're James Bond? Turbo. You hit the turbo button on the car, and suddenly you are going freakishly fast probably faster than speed of light. So, yes, thank you for that contribution because it's really important.
Share really briefly that I was playing with my with transiting Jupiter, which is just getting ready to enter my sixth house. So I did some, and it's in Cancer. So I did some scripting over higher levels of self-care, really expanding my ability to be good to myself. And that's I'm using a lot of Virgo elements for that, as far as the basics of self-care. So I really appreciated last week's homework, and I expect to continue having fun with that, especially when I start scripting with my natal Jupiter. But
beautiful. Oh, that's good to hear.
What did you do, Kim?
Well, because I just had my Jupiter return, the once every 12 years, my natal Jupiter's 29 Gemini, so I just had my Jupiter return, like the day before it went into the new sign of Cancer, and this is right on the cusp of my 11th house. Of course, it's groups and my participation in the, one to many, me to many people. And I have put a lot of thought into my relationships to groups and how to experience groups in new ways and engage groups in new ways. So there's been that. But I think on another level, where we look at the 11th house, we see hopes and wishes for the future. And I think partly because I'm doing vibration boot camp, which always kind of brings on the heightened awareness of everything. But I don't know, I can't remember which exercise it is, but there was something that helped me realize that I had set points. I had some specific ideas of, do this and feel that, as opposed to just feel this. And it's limitless. I got a sense of limitless feeling around what can be experienced when it comes to my goals for the future.
Nice.
That's big. And I'm expecting that turbo button to just launch. I'm so excited. I can't believe how. Yeah, I've been reaching new levels of excitement, I will say. Okay, so for today, thank you. Is there anyone else who wanted to chime in about their Jupiter work or about anything around the course so far that they want to connect in about?
Nothing from chat room.
Okay. So today, what we want to do, and we'd really like, as you can tell already, we just want this to be more of a hands-on call where we can look at specific planets in your chart. Anybody on the call, we can look at your charts. Maybe to make things go smoothly, find your chart in the gallery and just grab that URL, so when we're talking about your chart, you can pop it in the chat, and I can just click on it as opposed to trying to search up. I need to find a better way to get everybody on the call have their charts just automatically categorized. That's another goal for the future. But anyway, grab your chart URL so that Jeanette and I can look at it really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to sifting through to find it. And anyone listening to the call, you've got lifetime access to the forum, and particularly in the next week or so, we want to be discussing your goals and what planets you want to leverage. So post your chart in the forum with your questions, and we'll continue this topic as well. And I will check my email. I asked people to shoot me emails if they had something specific and they couldn't make the call, and I'm not sure what's coming up in there. Okay, so today we want to talk about tapping the planets in your chart to amp up your manifesting skills. Now, this is very much like we already practiced specifically last week with Jupiter. Jupiter is one form of energy. If we remember the little metaphor, the planets are like the actors. That's the energy. That's what is expressing. designs that they fall in, that is the costume that the actor wears. So that is how the energy is expressing. And the house is the stage or the set, the scene. It shows us where this energy is most at home expressing. So what I've done with your notes is given you, again, keywords. And I can't emphasize enough that these keywords are not complete. You can write a whole book on each one of the planets, a whole book on each one of the signs and each one of the houses. It's been done. So these are just keywords to give you an idea of what this energy is about and how it expresses and where it expresses. So the way you've got three charts in your, tables in your notes that give you guidelines to the planet signs and houses. And I've keyed in the LOA tools, and these are, again, just keywords, examples of what really resonates with activating that particular planet. So the way we want to work with this is go in for a minute. Maybe you've come to the call with a goal, or maybe it's a contrast, or it's something that you desire that you want to express, or it's something that is foremost in your mind. It might be huge, it might be small, doesn't matter. And what we're going to do is we're going to identify which planet is your ally. Who's your biggest ally in this? Who's the actor that's going to step up to your side and stride through this whole creation with you? And we're going to look at what sign and what house that energy is in and how we can best boost it. Now, I think examples are going to help make
that's what
sense.
I was just thinking. Yeah, looking at a real life example would probably be fun
be
to do.
The most
so
helpful. So
aging all Leos.
Yeah, I don't think. Okay, you Leos can flip a coin to see who wants to go first.
Unless you want
but
to give us a hypothetical one, Kim, or
okay,
do you?
Okay, yeah, hypothetical. I probably wrote out a hypothetical. Just start with the sun because we know that the sun represents our purpose, path, and power. And let's say someone is, this is hypothetical, vague or unsure about their next goal. Maybe they feel confused or there's a lack of energy to know what way to go. You know that saying that lack of enthusiasm equals a wrong for you goal? So maybe they're in something that they thought they really wanted, but they're not feeling the love, they're not feeling the enthusiasm, and they don't know what to do. If it's a goal-oriented, particularly around career, express out in the world, yang question or contrast, we're going to look at the sun. Because the sun, if you look at your table, you'll see this is about individuation. This is I create, and it's like I create what? And this is out in the world. It's yang. It's how you put yourself out there. Just think of the sunshine. How do you shine in the world? And if it's not happening for you, it means you're not tapped in to the goal that has meaning for you. So let's say there's sun in Aries. And let's say they're in a job where it's very structured. They have to be at work at a certain time, and they get lunch. They're told when they can eat, when they can have coffee, when they can talk. They're told what to do. We all know Aries wants to lead, is totally independent, is going very competitive. They want to do their own thing. They got a lot of push and drive. So if you put the sun, if you put this person in a situation where they're not the boss, they're not going to be happy. That sun is going to start to feel like it's, you know, the light is not shining. They're not doing their thing. And let's say it's in the third house of communication. So here's this entrepreneur speaker who is maybe cold calling for, you know, a list that's handed them every day, and they hate their job. Or maybe they don't even get to the point where they realize they hate their job. They might be simply wondering why they're not enthused in life, or maybe they're getting sick or headaches or things aren't going well. So what we would do is we would want to wake this son up and get this son on board to a more authentic track. And some of the strongest LOA tools linked to the son, number one, is connect to inner guidance, connect to your higher self. And an individual supported in doing that would open that door to Aries and realize, holy cow, I'm in the wrong job. And if they couldn't get to that point, one of the most brilliant tools for an unhappy sun sign, sun position, is worthiness magic. I don't know if you all know the worthy magic drill. We've included some of these tools in your notes in the appendix. Worthy magic is one of them. It just starts out with saying, I am worthy. And you're writing it out, I am worthy. And it can be hard. It can be very confronting. But you start, you know, just letting it flow. I am worthy of great things. I'm worthy of expressing myself. I'm worthy of a better job. I'm worthy of being the boss. And you do this every day, and you are, again, catapulted out of this limiting belief and job that basically that job for that person was saying, I am not worthy. I'm not connected to my higher self. I don't, and I'm not worthy enough to be everything I can be. Change those things, the whole life changes. And the key that, of course, that you'll find with every LOA tool is we're not trying to go out there and fix what's happening in the outer world. It doesn't help to tell that person, get a different job, start applying for something different, because it's not going to connect. They, whatever they're doing in their life, that's where they're at. So change the inner relationship to what that job represents. For an Aries, that job would represent, I don't feel worthy, and I don't really know myself, and where I know myself, but I don't feel worthy of going for it. So does that help you understand how this is going to work? This is just an overview of how we can use every single one of the planets as an ally to get living more of a life of our dreams.
All righty, let's play with some real examples now.
Well, I'm happy to go.
Okay, girlfriend. Now, I have found your chart because I found it while you were talking about your Leo. So, but for everybody's benefit, I'll just pop it in here unless you already have, which you haven't yet.
I did, but my chat seems to be frozen.
Mine is slow, too.
You guys, this is so Mercury retrograde. Holy crap. I had about 5 pages of script on my cut and paste, and I just put it in my, anyway, I stopped that. You were going to get a really interesting look at a Boeing 767 flying to Easter Island, but that's not what this class is about. Oh, look, Janet did it. Thank you. Sorry, I'm cracking myself up here. Okay.
Cool.
There you are, and thank you for that. Now, let's go. What you got?
Well, I guess this is kind of arising out of the whole, you know, expansion visibility quandary of old story and new story. And I sort of theoretically see where I can get a lot of juice out of my and Uranus is in Leo as well. There you go. I could get some joy out of those, you know, Jupiter and Pluto and Uranus in Leo. And then I've also got Neptune conjunct my Sun, and Neptune's got his whole invisibility thing going on. And I'd like to get some insights into I don't know, it feels like a juggling act. So some ways to amp up where I do have Leo.
Yep. Okay, I got it. I totally get this. And the hit I get instantly is Uranus, because not just because of the way you only just noticed it.
Yes, isn't that interesting?
But
just looking at the chart again.
Here's the thing. Your Taurus rising. Taurus rising, the Taurus in you, wants things to be, remember this is an earth sign, it wants things to be steady, predictable, no big surprises, right? Unless, you know, we get a memo beforehand. What does Uranus want? I will tell you. Change, excitement, if you love me, surprise me, pull that rug out from under me, stretch that rubber band back, fly me over the moon when I don't even know what's going on, I'm upside down and backwards. That's what Uranus wants. It's possible that you've resisted this planet.
Yes, that totally.
Okay, is that
your thing? I'm sitting here folding my arms and going, no.
Okay, good. That's good. You just tap into that body language. But no, this is fine. This is wonderful, because this is your homework. This is what you want to do. You want to engage Uranus in ways that does not involve giant disruptive changes that are freakosaurus. It involves just small steps into the Uranian world of surprise and the Uranian world of gentle unpredictability. It's what we're shooting for. Ways to honor Uranus in your life is going to mega open up your this Leonian feeling of creative expansion. And we need to think of some ways to support that. I am thinking, I've talked to you about this before, but anything that you do with kind of spontaneous group work is awesome for you. And, of course,
like no planned agendas, maybe.
Pardon?
As in no planned agendas. That could be one way to experience it.
The more kind of like running groups that run more spontaneously than structured.
Well, Janet hosts an LOA meetup group. I wonder, do you have topics for that, Janet, or do you whatever people show up with is what you guys talk about?
It's a mixture. My intention is always to spend a little time doing a, you know, roundup of where people are at and what they want to bring to the party, and then have a topic to create a little bit of focus so that it's not utter, because it's a 2-hour get together. So, 2 hours it's not a large group. So 2 hours is a little bit long. We run out of steam if we don't have something new and juicy to explore. But it's always, I never have more than a one page. Like I'll do a one page set of notes that give me.
Do you tell them in advance what their topic is? Because Kim, would it work if Janet surprised everyone? Would that be using?
Exactly. Janet can be the surpriser or the surprisee. And I think the surpriser would suit, especially
the
to begin with, because obviously we feel like we're creating surprise and change, but we're still in a bit of control, which is good. You know, I can totally relate to that. I've got Taurus on the midheaven, believe me. There are areas that I do not want surprise unless it's well planned for.
That's brilliant, because it's I'm just becoming aware now that I think I have had this old illusion that in order for other people to feel comfortable showing up for something I'm presenting, I need to be utterly prepared and let them know that I am. And in fact, of course, that's just my own.
Well, there's a way to prepare for surprise, you know. There's a way to get good at going with the flow and allowing spontaneous inspiration. I mean, you can prepare to allow the surprise, right?
And I've experienced that. I think, you know, that the call I did for GVU, you know, I got a couple of questions that came out of left field and discovered to my absolute delight that I knew the answers anyway, even though I hadn't thought of them before. But it's more, what I'm intrigued by is that, I always like to have the feeling that I'm well prepared in the sense that I know my stuff, that and that even if somebody asks something I don't know, I'm quite happy to say, well, that's an interesting question. I'll have to do some research and get back to you. I have no problem with that. But where I think I was a little hung up, and this has really opened the door, I think I thought that other people would expect me to be completely predictable in order for them to feel comfortable. And, of course, that's not the case at all. That was me just projecting my own desire for stability. And I really like the idea that I'm free from that.
Janet?
Go ahead.
You, Kim. I'm going to remember what I wanted to say.
Oh, I'm just thinking back to our very first call when we talked about expectations of ourselves and others. And this is a way to loosen. Remember the idea of the end of being the mask? And it's really fun to be able to loosen up that mask and put other masks on. We're all 12 signs of the zodiac. And you could go to a call thinking, today I'm going to be Sagittarius on this call. Maybe not, because you'll do all the talking and nobody will get anything in. But or maybe, you know, you just pick something different. You might think, oh, I'm going to be Aries. I'm just going to be a little edge confronting to everyone today. That'll surprise them. And play with that. Another thing, Jeanette, you can elaborate on this, but you know how it's a wonderful LOA exercise that when we wake up in the morning before we get out of bed to either go through appreciations or to set intentions.
Some sort of alignment exercise.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the word I was, an alignment exercise. And Janet, you could play with the idea of aligning yourself with a fun surprise every day.
Oh, I like that.
Like consciously invite.
Nice.
I hope I don't get in trouble for this. Consciously invite Uranus into your life in a fun, exciting, creative way.
I'd love for us to get to another example, but before we ask someone else to bring their desire so we can play with it in their chart, when Janet said, I want to know my stuff, or you said something like that, Janet, and I thought, ooh, that'd be another great place to turn to her chart to amp up confidence, right? And I was looking at her Mercury in six, and I thought that might be an example of another way we could turn to our stars for help leverage or manifesting what it is we want to create.
Yes, yes. And I think because in Janet's case, her Mercury is intercepted, which without going into great detail, it just means that it's got a room of its own. It's not alone in there, by the way. It's in there with the Sun and Neptune, too. And I think that this Mercury in particular, which is so good at connecting and talking and so forth, but may at times have doubt. There could be self-doubt about worthiness, even though this isn't, I guess because your Sun is in there as well, but ideas that are very affirming of your Mercury. And again, I really like the idea of that morning alignment and just even aligning with this sense of I always have, like affirmation could be, I always have wonderful things to offer.
That's what I was thinking, a declaration of sorts.
A declaration,
would be really
yeah,
powerful.
Yeah, that would really get Mercury on board. And also, what's that one, that classical affirmation, I'm a wonderful surprise?
Oh, I've never heard that before. I love it.
Oh, my God, I think there's bumper stickers with that. It's in films, I think. That's another universe. But anyway, I think so. That's your mantra. That honors Uranus, and that is going to add a new element to who you are, and that is going to boost your life.
All right, I want us to move on before we get to the top of the hour, and we haven't talked with everyone. Nicole posted her chart link in the chat room, so we can easily see it.
Okay, I'm clicking.
Nicole, you are unmuted.
Great. Thank you, guys. I just am, you know, for this opportunity, I would just love for you, Kim, to just look at my chart and tell me if I want to express my full signature in this lifetime, right? You know, good North Node, like, you know, looking to really shine my light and use manifestation. I'm just wondering if you could look at the chart and, you know, sort of point me in the right direction, what planets to look at, what, you know, tools to use that would be best for me, basically.
Okay, can I get really clear on what it is that you want to create that you're not experiencing now? What's the goal in the on the forefront?
I think right now, let's just say dealing with fear.
Okay.
Kim, this is a fabulous time to spotlight that fabulous vibrational scale chart you put in our notes.
Thank you. Yeah. Let's scroll down.
I'm a little excited about it.
Yeah, no, go. You tell me about it.
First, Pluto, Neptune, Saturn, you've got listed next to fear, grief, depression, despair, and powerlessness. So as soon as Nicole said that, I was like, oh, I know what planets to look at. Kim's got a chart.
Yes. Exactly. Jeanette, can you just tell us a brief overview of what the vibrational scale is for anyone who's not familiar with it?
Yes. And then we can... each emotion or feeling has an energetic frequency associated with it. This scale comes from Abraham Hicks, where they ordered not from negative to positive, but from higher vibrating to lower vibrating. And the point of the scale is to remind ourselves that we don't jump from one end to the other, but rather it's a step-by-step process. So someone who might be in deep depression, to expect themselves to be in positive bliss and joy in the next moment, that's an unrealistic movement. That wherever we're at on the scale, we just want to start moving up to the next step. And that could mean going through some feelings of anger or frustration before we ever get anywhere near hopeful or happy.
Yes, thank you. And can I just say that getting to anger, anything below anger, from anger downwards, anger is your friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a huge energy mover, especially because it's linked to Mars and Uranus. So we often will go to Mars to shift out of any, if there's been a kind of fearful energy around for a long, long time, one of the quick ways to move forward is to connect with Mars. But I want to make this specific for you. And, Nicole, I think if we just look at what's going on in your third house, if we look at, you've got Jupiter, Sun, and Saturn, I'm just looking at, okay, I couldn't read the degree there. That was my problem. That's backwards. It's not. You've got the stellium, the Jupiter, Sun, Saturn conjunction in your third house. And as you know, I know you've got a strong background in astrology, and you know that we...
Oh,
can we
Holy
see
Hannah.
Us?
Yeah,
you
let
got
me
a dog fight in the background. No.
No, it's not doggy. I think we're okay now.
Okay. When any planets that are together like this, what we call conjunction, what happens is the energy is merged. It's like, go back to that metaphor I said, when you have planets connected by aspect, it's like table legs. If you pull one leg of the table up, you will get all other three legs. They are together. So the point is, you can't do the sun. You can't shine forth in the world in your authentic way without getting Jupiter and getting Saturn. Jupiter and Saturn feel very polarized in their energy at first. They do not feel like they're on board with each other, because Jupiter is about expansion and Saturn's about contraction, and Jupiter is about moving forward with confidence, and Saturn's about cautious and being more self-critical at first. So there can the psyche just can't handle the dichotomy, especially as a child, especially growing up. So we tend to believe one of these planets more than the other. And if you feel fear holds you back from experiencing your goals, you've been believing Saturn, a Saturn that has not shown you the cornucopia yet. It has not shown you the gifts yet, at least to the degree that you can express yourself fully with confidence in a way that really rings true for who you are. And what I'm laying this background so that you know that this is the natural contrast. It's like this is one of your gifts to work with. Without going into too much detail, the dichotomy of Saturn and Jupiter is that Jupiter has the vision. Jupiter wants to go forth and create. It's got the beautiful, pristine, imagined vision. Saturn, of course, wants to make it real, wants to build it. The problem is, when Saturn creates the vision, it falls short in this manifest reality because it's not as pristine as we can imagine it. You can imagine it perfect. And we have this perfect idea about how having that goal, reaching that goal, is going to make us feel. And we're often disappointed, which is also Saturn, when we reach the goal because it's not making us feel the way we thought it would. And as far as Saturn's concerned, it feels flawed. The flip side is if we don't manifest it, if we don't build it in the world, it remains this vision that never actually lives because it's only imagined. So people that are tapped into a strong Jupiter-Saturn conjunction, which you're right in the middle of with your sun, have this, it's almost like feeling between a tug of war between imagining it perfect and bringing it into reality. And fear can be a defense against having to just deal with it. It feels like I don't want to make that choice. So one of the greatest tools that we work with here is things that first soothe this and slacken up that tug of war so that you don't feel stretched in these directions and you don't feel like you have this defense of fear around the situation. So anything that soothes, anything that feels like everything's all right, I'm perfect the way I am. I don't have to make anything, air quotes, happen. And just get this feeling of exhaling, relaxing. Do you know what I'm talking about? This feeling, Jeanette, that you might, some tools might be popping up in your head right now thinking about this. It's the idea of, first of all, exhale. Because it's almost like the whole life has been this tension between these two seemingly divergent energies. And once relaxed, we move towards the idea of and, imagined and real, creating and then appreciating in whatever its form. You talk to any creative artist that brings something into manifestation that is fixed, like you record the song, you publish the book, you produce the film or the play, and I listened to this interview by Maggie Smith. She's the amazing British actress, and she never watches herself in film. She's never seen a film she's in. Same with Jim
Gent. I saw that interview.
Never watched. You know why? She is saying, I see too many things I want to change. I fix it. I see the flaws. And she'll talk about when she's stage acting, at least she can try again the next night. So you get this idea of this feeling that when the creation becomes solid and grounded and fixed, there is this judgment on it. And we lose appreciation for that, just the joy of expression. And that that becomes a real wrench in the smooth moving gears of moving our life forward. Does that make sense to you, Nicole, those ideas?
Yeah, that's lovely. Yeah, that's really, really helpful. It really brought a lot of clarity to this stellium, because that is one of the things that confuses me the most, is how the three planets relate to each other. So I guess when I start to feel stressed out, I'll just remember to breathe and then, you know, appreciate what I imagine and appreciate the, you know, reality. And yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you.
Beautiful. And you appreciate them in different ways. When it's in the imagination, you can have the freaking best of both worlds. In your imagination, you can think, oh, I'll tweak it a little. It'll be even more perfect. You can change that every moment of every day if you want. In the reality, and you appreciate it for that that fluidity of perfection. And when you look at the product, the actual manifest reality, you pivot away from the mind that's critical. It says, oh, I could have done that better. Oh, that doesn't flow. Or you simply flood it with love of its existence. I created that. And be proud of it. And it helps me to tap back into these creative geniuses, I think, these artists and actresses and writers, who will have that same self-criticism, and it's like, okay, you accept the fact that we don't, or envision this, that we don't judge our manifest creations as if they were our fluid imagination. We don't apply that criteria to it. And once it's born, it's like, okay, you have a child. If you birth a child, hopefully parents aren't looking at it thinking, God, if I'd only had the DNA for brown eyes. And if they only were learning this a little faster, or maybe if their hair was a different color, or if they were a little bit taller. Hopefully as parents, we don't start undermining and thinking how if a little bit different DNA combination would make this body, mind, spirit in a different way, they'd be, air quotes, better or more to our ideal. Hopefully we don't do that with our children. And your creations are your children, and you need to, there's one, I'm trying to think of what author this was. She says, I love all my books, warts and all. And you know that those first novels or those first attempts are going to be very different creations than when you're writing book 10 or book 20. They're different. That doesn't mean that they're not absolutely lovable and gifts in the world. And that's the vibe you got to bring to what you're creating. Jeanette, do you have any LOAE tips to help with that feeling of soothing and allowing and appreciating those things that we may have? I mean, this is in Virgo, so we've got a little bit of a propensity for judgment or a bit harsh self-talk sometimes. Are we still on the call? Oh, Jeanette. Oh, she's gone. Okay. Does anyone, you guys are all very savvy LOA coaches. Does anyone have anything else to offer Nicole in terms of what might help? Just that feeling of soothing. Maybe it's around self-love, self-appreciation. If you've got a critical inner voice, what would you recommend?
Well, Kim, I have a resource that I use for this, and I'll put a link to it in the forum for people. But sometimes soothing that inner critical voice, soothing is exactly the right word. I think we get taught to try and ignore it or kick it to the curb or tame it or something. And my approach is pretty different from that. I think hearing what it has to say and soothing it, and then allowing it to fade is, you know, or do a different job is my approach. But I'll put a link. I'll put a link to it directly in the. It's one of those ones I give it up. I offer it on my website for people in exchange for them signing up to my list. But I'll put the direct link so people can download it straight from you. Send it. Yeah, in the forum.
I might
put it in the.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. That was really, really lovely. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Not a problem.
Welcome. Yay, guys. Okay, Julie, we didn't get to you. Who else has been left hanging? Well, not hanging, but just hasn't gotten in yet.
I felt like I talked so much right at the start. It's almost the top of the hour.
We are at the top of the hour, and I realize that Jeanette.
I mean, I am going to take advantage of being able to be in the forums.
Great.
For sure, because I would like to know, like you say, I'm going to be learning more about this, and I'm going to be listening to this call again and seeing how, I can reference the information for myself, and then I'm sure I will have lots of questions.
Okay, great. Thank you. And guys, remember, you've got lifetime membership, so you can always tap back in and learn more. There are obviously going to be more courses. And, the big announcement that we were all excited about, she's gone, so I don't know what day she picked. we'll put it on the calendar, and I'll send out a notice to everyone. But what we're going to do is a free call every month, which will be an Astro LOA roundtable. So what you'll do is kind of similar to what we've just done today. Send ahead of time your question, and then on the call we'll do a roundtable about it and talk about what's happening astrologically and where the LOA support can come in and shift things. So that's going to be a new component of GBA, and you're all invited.
Oh, that is awesome. I know I'm going to love that, because I just learned so much actually in the, the interactive conversations. So I will look forward to that for sure.
Wonderful. Okay. All right, everybody. I'm going to, I can't stop the recording. That's interesting. I wonder if it's still going, but I don't know what's happening with the recording. That'll be something to find out very soon. And but I'll wrap up the call, because we're at the top of the hour, and you guys have been just wonderful. I really appreciate everything you've brought to this course, and it's not over. Please feel free to participate in the forums and explore to whatever level whenever you want. We are here. So thank you, guys.
Thank you so much, Kim.
Thank you so much. Yes.
What a great opportunity, definitely.
And thank you, Jeanette,
love
as well.
Love you guys, and we'll see you in the forums.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.